graduations all across the spectrum, from high school to college to junior college, everything from bachelor's to master's to doctorate degrees, and it's an incredible time. It's a time, graduates, of adventure. It is a time of opportunity. It is a time of responsibility. It will be a time of adversity. But it will be an exciting and incredible time. And moments like these life-changing moments, only come so many times in life. And so it's critical that you know, that we know, not just you, but we know how to navigate, especially those times in our lives. And I want to speak to you about that this morning in a message that I've entitled Prosperous and Successful. Prosperous and Successful. I say that because the message that I want to go to, where I want to go this morning, is going to speak to that. Those are words that are thrown around in our culture, and they are words that will be thrown around to you as graduates, and they're thrown to all of us. And I want to talk about that here in just a moment. Those moments that you are in this morning. In fact, Joshua, who's what we want to talk about for a moment this morning, Joshua had just such a moment. Joshua had just such a moment. In fact, in every sense of the word, it was Joshua's graduation. Moses had died. Now remember, Moses was the only leader they ever had. Moses had led them out of Egypt. He had led them across the Red Sea. He had marshaled the children of Israel as God destroyed Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. He had led them through the wilderness. Moses had brought water from a rock when they were thirsty. He prayed and petitioned manna from heaven. Moses had led them through the wilderness and through battles. Moses had been the only guy. He was the only guy. But Moses had gone, just before the scripture that we pick up, Moses had gone into the mountains. God had took Moses into the mountains, and there he died, and God buried Moses. And they spent 30 days mourning Moses in the land of Moab, 30 days. And during that 30 days, all eyes began to turn to Joshua, because now it was his turn. Now it was his opportunity. Now it was his turn to lead. It was his responsibility to make the decisions. It would be on him to lead them forward at this point. And in every sense, it was Joshua's graduation. And the cool thing is, and God was the commencement speaker. I don't know who's going to speak at your commencement exercise this weekend, but God spoke at Joshua's commencement exercise. And here's what he had to say. I want to read this scripture, talk with you just a little bit about it, and then I want to concentrate on one particular scripture. Just go with me, Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua, the first chapter. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. That is the first of three times that this phrase is used. Be strong and very courageous. I'm sorry, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to the ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not? I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Father, I pray that you take the next few moments and you ordain it as an opportunity to not only speak into these graduates' lives, but to all of our lives, that we might understand what real prosperity and success is and the key to it and the path to it. I thank you and I praise you for that. And the Holy Spirit, you come. Overcome any hindrances to communication this morning. Communicate spirit to spirit and let us hear what you are saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do not think we can grasp the gravity of that moment. Charlie, it would be like trying to follow Winston Churchill or trying to follow FDR. We cannot grasp what it was for Joshua to stand in that moment and to realize that the only leader they had ever had is gone. He is dead. God has ordained him for the moment. But Joshua, you understand, even though there's anointing on Joshua, he's still human. I don't think we can grasp the mix of excitement and thrill, the mix of nerves and fear and anxiety. I just don't think we can grasp what that moment was for them. And I don't know. I don't remember much about my graduation, but I don't know if as you face this time in life that you too as graduates will, there is all of that mix of emotion. But what's fascinating is that because of that, God comes and God speaks into that moment. God steps into that moment and speaks to Joshua and says to him some things that I think you and I need to try to take and grasp this morning. Joshua was going to be the one to carry them in, to conquer the land, to finally get the promise that God had made to Moses. And so God comes and he speaks into that moment. And he understands where Joshua is. He understands what Joshua is going through. So I want to point out to you just two or three things that God said. In fact, I want to concentrate on three verses. This verse 7, 8, and 9. And I want to just talk with you about it for a moment and then apply it to our lives just for a moment this morning. Notice the first thing I want to point out to you is that three times God says, be strong and courageous. He says it in verse 6. He says it in verse 7. He says it again in verse 9 as he finishes there. The word strong there means to growing powerful. It means to grasp, to seize, to grab a hold of. Can I say something to you as graduates, and not just graduates? There may be some others that are here this morning. You're in a place in life, and I've got to tell you, there is something about seizing the moment. There is something about taking and grasping that which God has given you an incredible opportunity. He has gifted you with talents and gifts. He has commissioned you and anointed you, and I'm telling you, seize the moment. Grab this opportunity. Be strong, God was saying to Joshua. He was saying, Joshua, this moment is a unique moment. And I'm telling you, this moment in your life is a unique moment. And there are moments in all of our lives, and we have to recognize what, and we have to seize and grab those moments. And then the second thing that he said is fascinating. He says, be strong and courageous. The word courageous there is an interesting word. It literally means unflinching, firm, steady. So it's not just that we seize the moment. It is that in that moment, we remain firm and unflinching. I'm going to say this as an observation. It's not revelation. You all know this as well. Never before in our lifetime has it been more difficult for Christians to be firm and unflinching in the moment than it is right now. The adversities, and I just say to you, as young, the graduates, listen to me, remain firm, unflinching in your faith, in your confidence, in your trust in God Almighty. Do not give up one inch of ground. Be strong and seize the moment, but in that seizing of the moment, you remain firm and unflinching in the education that God has given you, that faith and trust and confidence. Be firm, be strong, and be courageous. That's the first thing. He says this three times. He keeps reminding Joshua of this. Why does he keep reminding Joshua of this? Because the land that they are going into will require you to both seize that opportunity and to remain firm, unflinching, and committed to God and who he is and who he has called you to be in his life. Be firm, be strong, and be courageous. But I want to drill down a little bit deeper here and emphasize something that I find fascinating. It is found there in verse 8. Notice what he says. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then there's this sentence that just jumps off the scripture. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I want to talk with you just for a few moments about being prosperous and successful. Because that is what our world, that is what our culture, that is what our economy, that is the way the American life pushes to us to be prosperous and successful, right? I mean, everybody, you are supposed to be prosperous and successful. And it's fascinating. This word prosperous and successful, they are two words that are closely related in the original language. But there's a slight difference between them. Prosperous actually means force, entry, to rush upon and gain victory. Successful, on the other hand, means understanding, comprehension, insight. In other words, prosperous, it conveys an action. Success conveys an insight. But put together, here's what prosperous and successful means according to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It means making steady progress in a favorable direction. Making steady progress in a favorable direction. And you do understand, don't you, that in order to make steady progress in a favorable direction, there must both be insight and there must be action. It is not enough just to know what to do. You also must do it. And if you don't know what to do, how can you do it? What God is saying here, I will make you prosperous and successful. I will give you insight and I will give you action that will carry you to the place that I want you to be. Can I say something to you as graduates and to all of us here this morning? Because this doesn't just apply to graduates. But can I tell you something this morning? If you will listen to God, He will give you insight and He will give you an action plan that will carry you on a path that will make you prosperous and successful according to His plan for your life. Amen? Prosperous and successful. In fact, it's fascinating. It means making steady progress. I got to tell you, this idea of prosperous and successful, we have warped it so much because we think, and I say we, our culture wants prosperity like now. Right? We want it right now. We have prosperity and success. We want it right now. We in our culture have a lottery mentality toward being successful and being prosperous. You know what I mean by that? We want to wake up one morning and have it. We want to wake up morning and we've hit the jackpot. We want to wake up one morning and there it is. We wake up and our life has changed. It's been transformed and it'll never be the same again. That is actually not what God means by prosperous and successful. In fact, what God means by prosperous and successful is exactly the opposite, and it means that we are steady making progress day by day on the path that God has chosen for my life and for your life. That's prosperity and that's success. It may well include great riches. It may well include fame. It may well include fortune, but those things are not prosperity and they are not successful. To be successful and prosperous in God's way is to gain His insight, to gain His action plan, and to walk it out day by day by day. Now, let me tell you what the difference in that is. Let me tell you why that's crucial that you and I understand and embrace that. Here's why that's crucial. Because if you buy into the world's idea of prosperity and success, then you will never be a success or prosperous until you get there. You listening to me? Your definition of success and prosperity will be when I get there, when I arrive there, when I am in that place, then I will be prosperous and successful. Can I tell you what? I have a word for that, a phrase for that. I probably heard it years ago, but it stuck with me. You know what that is? That idea that when I get there, I'll be successful. When I get that job, I'll be successful. When I get that much money in my account, I'll be successful. When I get that position, I'll be research. You know what that is? I call it destination disease. Destination disease. Why is that? Because here's what I promise you can happen. It happens. You see it happen around you all of the time. If that's your definition of prosperity and success, if you buy into that, here's what I know. It eats at your soul every single day. Wow. You wake up every day. If I could just get there, if I could just have that, if I could just accomplish that, if I could just be there, and it eats at your soul every day. That is not, listen, what God has designed for you, Jade, what God has designed for you, Devin and Drew and Brittany, what God has designed for you is not destination disease. What God has designed for you is daily success and prosperity. Listen to me, I cannot press on you enough this, not just for our graduates, but for all of us, because in a congregation this size, there are probably some this morning that are suffering from destination disease. Let me give you the anecdote. Let me tell you the opposite of that. Here's what God has for you. God, when you wake up every day and you hear God's voice in your life, you get His insight, and then you carry that plan out. That means, watch this, that means that I am a success and I am prosperous every single day of my life. When I wake up and I get God's insight, when I wake up and I gain God's action plan, when I wake up and I have what He wants me to do, I can be a success, I can be prosperous every single day, no matter what's going on around me or happening around me. I know that today I have God's insight and I have God's plan. I am successful and I am prosperous today. And here's what I can tell you. There is a world of difference in living your life in those two different ways. A world of difference between the two. See, Joshua stands on the precipice of his life, and what God tells him is, look, is that I will give you the action plan. I will give you the insight that you and this nation needs to go forward and to find my will. And in it, you will gain prosperity, success. And then he gives them the key in how to do that. Watch what he says. Here's the key. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do everything written in it. There it is. And then he says, and then you will be prosperous and successful. Listen, there are books, Books a Million. Go to Books a Million this afternoon. Go to Amazon this afternoon. And put in the words prosperous and successful. There are volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes written to tell you how to be prosperous and successful. And yet nearly 4,000 years ago, God wrote it here simply. He said, you want to be successful? You want to be prosperous? Three things you have to do. Keep the book of the law on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful to do everything written in it. We've complicated success and prosperity so much. We've complicated it so much. What God is saying to Joshua, he's saying to us, and that is there are three words. In fact, I started to get your Bibles out there and write this in the margin there at Joshua 1 in your note Bibles. The three things, listen, three very key things that it comes when it comes to being prosperous and successful according to God's. One is meditate on it. Second is to obey it. Third is to submit to it. But that's, you understand that's what he means. In fact, listen, it's interesting. It is fascinating there, these words. The word meditate means to think at length day and day. Day and night. To think at length day and night. In other words, God's word should be forefront in our minds, in our all of us face at times, we face decisions that have to be made. Well, that's what meditating on, thinking on the Word of God does for us. It helps us in those moments and in those times to make those decisions. It means to think on it day and night. It means that God's Word is not just something you read in the morning and forget about till the next morning. It is that God's Word is that constant companion, that constant instructor, that constant advisor in our lives. Meditate on his word. So the second part of that is to obey it. Notice what he says there. He says, be careful to do everything written in it. God's word is not outdated, antiquated. It's not an old book for an old time. It is alive and relevant and real in your lives, in every life that is here this morning. God's word is. Meditate on it. Obey it. And then the last one is what I would say, submit to it. Meditate on it, obey it, submit to it. Why do you say that, Glenn? There's an interesting phrase here, and it's not obvious until you pull it out a little bit. The word keep this book of the law always on your lips. The word keep there means to, it literally interpreted, means to put an end to it. To put an end to it. Now that sounds odd, but you got to put it in context. Notice what it says. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Do you know what he's saying there? What he's saying there is that God's word is the final word. God's word is the final word. Put an end to it. In other words, you're going to have to make a decision one day. There are going to be tough things to decide. At some point, you've got to decide what is going to be the final word in your life. Is the final word going to be God's word, or is the final word going to be the definition the world has? What God says here is this. Do you want prosperous and be successful? Meditate on it, obey it, submit to it. Sooner or later, you are going to come upon a decision where you must decide, am I going to let God's word be the final word on the subject? Every one of us has to have a bottom line. Every one of us has to have a final word. Every one of us has to say, this is the foundation, and upon everything else, this is the stop. God's word has to be that in our lives. God's word has to be there in our lives. Meditate on it, obey it, submit to it, and you'll be prosperous and successful. Pastor, that sounds like a mighty easy formula. It sounds like an almost elementary definition of what it means to be prosperous and successful. I'm not telling you don't have to work. I'm not telling you it's not going to be hard and difficult. I'm not telling you you're not going to have adversity. I'm not telling you that at all. I'm telling you this. Meditate on God's word. Obey God's word. And let it be the final word in your life. And you will find yourself daily walking in prosperity and success. Is that a good word? And it's not just graduates that is crucial to. It is crucial to every single one of us here this morning. So let me see if I can make that real for us just for a minute. I'm just going to take just a moment and do this. Because I don't want you just to accept this at face value. Let me how does God's word do that? In other words, Pastor, you've said that obeying God's word, meditating on it, obeying it, and submitting to God's word brings us prosperity and success in our life. How does that happen? How does that work? Let me just real quickly mention four things, just real quick. One is this. One way that God's word makes you prosperous and successful is this. God's word defines prosperity and success for you. Every generation defines their own prosperity and success. The 50s generation... The 50s generation, they define prosperity and success as being able to own a home. The 60s generation, the generation after that, defined it as being accomplished in business. In the 80s and the 90s, they had their own definition of prosperity and success. Our generation today, that we are living in today, it seems that the definition of prosperity and success has to do with fame and fortune and the whole Kardashian life and or that whole atmosphere. That's what they've defined as prosperity and success. Can I tell you something? You cannot let the world define prosperity and success for you. Is that an amen? Amen. We cannot let the world define prosperity and success for us. And one way God's word helps us to be prosperous and successful is His word defines it for us. I am so glad that I do not have to live to the world's expectation of what prosperous and successful is. God has defined it for me as living a life that is pleasing to Him. And that alone makes me prosperous and successful. God's word defines it. Listen, there's freedom in that. There's freedom when you understand that God's word defines prosperity and success for you. It frees you from all of that bondage and baggage that the world wants to put on you. Amen? Second thing is this: God's word prioritizes prosperity and success for you. God's word prioritizes success for you. What do you mean by that, Pastor? What I mean by that is this: the priority that God puts on success and prosperity is not numbers and dollar signs. It's not how many friends you have on Facebook, most of which you have no idea who they are. But that has that not become part of what it means to be prosperous and successful? How many friends you have and how many likes you have? And in fact, there's a study out not too long ago that I just find fascinating about how addicted to the instant feedback of the social media we've become. Literally, physically addicted to the instant feedback. Listen, when God sets a priority on success and prosperity, it has nothing to do with numbers and dollar signs. You know what the priority for success and prosperity is for God? It's relationships. It's relationships. Can I tell you something? Teenagers, and I'm not sure it's teenage graduates and all of the rest of you, can I tell you something? Value relationships above everything next to your relationship with God. Can I tell you, when you get to the end of life, I have never seen anybody at the end of their life, and I have stood, as Brother Ted has stood, by a lot of bedsides at death, and I have never stood there and heard anybody say, "Bring me my checkbook." I've never heard them say, "Bring me that plaque that I have hanging on the wall." I've never heard them say, "Bring me the nameplate that says I was the president of so-and-so." I've never heard them say that. What I've heard them say over and over and over again is, "Where are my wife? Bring me my kids. Bring me my family. Gather them." Why? Because success and prosperity, in God's word, the priority is on relationships. Yeah. Yeah. And it frees you from that bondage and those chains that the world wants to put on you. The third thing, so how does God's word make us prosper, successful? It defines prosperity for us. It prioritizes prosperity and success for us. The third thing is this: God's word prepares us for prosperity and success. God's word prepares us. God's word prepares you. God's word, Devin, will prepare you for true success and prosperity. Do you know, it was fascinating. I looked it up. History is littered with ruined lives who were not prepared for success and prosperity. History's littered with it. God's word builds the character in you that you will need for the next level of success and prosperity. God's word, Jaden, makes you the kind of man that can be successful and prosperous at the next level. And then you live there for a while, and then God's word elevates you to a higher place. What? Elevates you before you are elevated. Hello? Why? So that you are prepared for that moment. I looked it up just because I was curious. According to the National Endowment for Financial Education, 70% of all lottery winners end up bankrupt within 5 years. Let that just sink in for a moment. 70% of all lottery winners end up bankrupt within 5 years or less. Why? Because they didn't have the character to stand the prosperity or success that they found themselves in. Wow. They didn't have the hardware. In fact, almost to accentuate that, I had that in my notes, and I just... I looked at the headlines this morning, and it's just almost to accentuate what I just said. Yesterday, they arrested a lady in Florida, a 27-year-old lady that a year ago won $1 million in the lottery, and yesterday was arrested for dealing drugs. Why? She wasn't prepared. Can I tell you something? God will never promote you beyond your character to stand that prosperity and success. But if you will let him, he will build that into you and then promote you in life in a way that you can truly be prosperous and successful and it not ruin your life. Hello? Amen? That's a good word. Fourth thing here. I'm going to say this. I'm going to bring this to a close. Fourth thing is this. God's word not only defines prosperity and success and prioritizes prosperity and success and prepares you for prosperity and success, God's word actually produces prosperity and success in you. What do you mean by that? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 said this. 16 says this. All scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. Do you know what that means? In a literal everyday application, you know what that means? That means, Brittany, when I open God's word each day and I begin to read, I meditate on what God said, I obey what he said, I let it be the final word in my life. What it means is when I open the word, God breathes into my life. Hello? I think maybe you missed it. When I open the word, God breathes into my life, Charlie. When God breathes into my life, when he breathes his will, his purpose, his, when he breathes his into my life through his word, that, listen, that then produces prosperity and success in my life according to his definition of it. This is not some pie in the sky sermon that I'm preaching. What I'm telling you is this: if you meditate on God, when you meditate on God's word, he breathes into you. When you obey God's word, he breathes into you. When you make his word the final word, he breathes into you, and that makes you prosperous and successful every single day. Not just way off out there somewhere. Wow. God's word produces that in my life. Produces, makes that in my life. Oh my goodness, to understand that when I submit and obey and meditate on the word of God, that he is breathing inside of me his word, his will in my life. And that produces the will of God. That produces prosperity and success according to God's will in my life. So here it is, not just for the graduates, but for all of us here this morning. Here it is. Meditate on, obey, and submit to God's word, and you will find his success and his prosperity for and in your life. I make that statement emphatically without any hesitation. Meditate on, obey, and submit to God's word, and you will find success and prosperity for and in your life. I'm not saying you won't have hardships. I'm not saying I'm not saying you won't run into trouble. I'm not saying you might not find yourself someplace in life and wonder, how in the world did I get here? I'm telling you, though, that if you will consistently meditate on, obey, and submit to God's word, you will find his success and prosperity for and in your life. Amen? Yeah, that's a good word. I couldn't help but think that looks like Drew walking there. Does that not? Hey, listen, as you walk through life, Drew, the rest of Devin, Jaden, Brittany, as you walk through life, meditate on God's word. It'll never steer you wrong. Obey God's word. It'll always help you make the right decision. Make it as the final word. Submit to it, the final word in your life, and you will be on solid ground. And that's a good word for the rest of us too. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in a place and maybe you're like the person I said a while ago and you don't know how did I get here? But can I tell you, God's roadmap will lead you right back to where you need to be. Amen. Maybe you're facing a decision. Can I tell you something? Make God's word the final word. God, I'm going to do what you say about this regardless. That's going to be the final word. Or maybe what you need is just some time. Maybe does life ever get like a jigsaw puzzle with pieces missing for you? Is anybody besides me that life gets like a jigsaw puzzle with pieces missing? Can I tell you, in those moments, in those times, in those seasons in life, it is so crucial that I just spend some time just reading God's word. I go to the Proverbs because it's so full of wisdom. And I just read through the Proverbs. Or I go to Psalms because it's so full of real life stuff. And I just read through. And what I find is the pieces begin to come into place. Why? Because I'm just breathing in God's word. I'm breathing in his breath. So I encourage you this morning, as I've encouraged these graduates, meditate on his word, obey it, submit to it, and you'll find God's prosperity and success for and in your life. In your life. I want you to bow your heads. Father, I thank you for this moment that we have right here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you've brought, Lord, just a great group of people, some that are here celebrating graduates, some that are here, God, because they find themselves in a difficult or hard place in life, some that are here, God, because they just wanted to be in your presence and worship with your people today, and some, God, maybe that just have some real questions. And I thank you that you're a God that meets us all right where we are. To that one that has questions, I pray, God, that they will understand, Lord, the great value in turning to your word. To those whose lives, Lord, may be just kind of messed up and the pieces are missing, I hope that they will understand. And Holy Spirit, this morning, God, I pray that you will just speak to them, God, about turning to your word and letting you fill in the blanks. To those, Lord God, that are here this morning that just wanted to come and worship, I pray that this word will encourage and strengthen them. And to our graduates this morning, I pray that this will be a message that they will remember and begin to pattern their life after. I thank you and I praise you for that, Lord. Before you lift your heads, before I dismiss, I have to give an opportunity this morning. There may be some, I sense in my spirit, there may be some that are here this morning that you, through a series of not obeying, not meditating, not doing what God wants you to do, that your life is in a place where you recognize, Pastor, I need to give my life to God, or I need to give my life back to God. I'm not walking with God at all. If that's you this morning, I want to pause and give a moment for that. We have a lot of visitors that I do not know, but it would be remiss of me to dismiss this morning and not give you an opportunity to say, Pastor, I want to follow God with my life like you talked about this morning, and I don't know how to do that. I'm telling you, the way to do that is to start by saying, Lord, I repent of my sins. I give my life to you. I want to start walking fresh and new today. If there's somebody that wants to do that, would you just lift your hand? Just raise your hand. Yes, there's one. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Somebody else? I'm going to give an opportunity to do that. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. I want to respond to that one there. And I'm going to ask that one, you know who you are. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to just come and find me and Geraldine after me or Geraldine after church so that we can minister to you personally. Because I think God just wants to speak something special and personal into your life. So don't get away. I'm going to come find you if you don't come find me. Father, I thank you. I praise you for this moment today and what you've done in people's lives. I thank you and I praise you, God, for the ministry of the Word and the Holy Spirit. And I pray that it will come together in powerful ways in people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with me if you will. I encourage you to be here Wednesday night. Great, a lot of great stuff going on Wednesday night. Until I see you again, Lord, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. We love you.